This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh,
okay. Hit it. Right? This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Okay, good.
Oh. Or in business. Go ahead.
Wait. I don't know what I was going to say. Now I've got so much pressure. Sorry. You know, you're recording.
I think it's just like for me, I know it's like it is a wash, but it's also going to be the year that I don't know. Today wasn't a bad day. And I do know that I have a good situation. And even in good situations, it's still hard. And like I've tried so hard to kind of dive into Bible study and to be more committed about that and maybe help. That would be a way to help me through this. But and when I sit down and actually do it, I feel okay. But I think my anxiety is starting to amp up now that we are starting to enter into the world. And now I'm like, what does that mean? What's okay and what's not okay? And what should I be?
Well, and that changes every day is the problem.
Exactly. Like, going into work, putting on gloves, putting on a mask. Okay. But when do I take the gloves off? And when have I been too interacting with too many people? Or, you know, that's kind of where it's almost like I got used to being away from people. Now I'm like, I don't know
how to get
around people. And that is kind of giving me anxiety.
That's been one of my biggest concerns about when we are able to step out of this. Like, are we all going to be so used to being reserved from people that we aren't ever going to want to touch another human being again? And that would be so sad because I need to hug people, you know, but how are people
going to... People prefer not to touch me.
Well, that's just true. Even before this, I would agree there were some people I wouldn't have wanted to touch me.
But like, I want to hug both y'all's necks. I miss you guys so much. Like... I know that one of my love languages, time well spent or time spent, but I didn't realize how much it had to be like in person. Like we have all these great opportunities, this great technology and, you know, phones are great, whatever, but just, you know, being in the same room with someone is just way taken for granted on my part, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Well, now that I'm back at the office, I can't, like, I'm not seeing my family right now. Yeah. And that's a huge sacrifice. I mean, thank God while I was working from home for the 7 or 8 weeks that I was, it was nice because I've been like, you know, doing the pick up your groceries, you know, somebody else shops for you and you pick up your groceries. And I mean, literally not going anywhere except going to visit my sisters and my parents. And even though I was sequestered from the world, I still had my family. And now it's the opposite. It's like now I'm back in the world and I'm, you know, sequestered from my family, which is so weird because obviously I lived in Nashville for such a long time and I would go, you know, 2-3 months without seeing them sometimes. And now I'm like, but I've come accustomed to seeing you every week.
And you know that they're physically close to you. So not being able to see them would be that much more difficult, I would
say. Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have you're not going to have a lot of other social interactions. You know, like I mean,
it's just going to work and coming home is what's happening.
I go to my sister's every day and, you know, people can say what they want about whether or not I was supposed to do that, whatever. But in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen when I don't go over there every day? Like, I'm going to miss so many things. I don't even know what's going on. Like
your nephew trying to set you up. You should share some of that.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty great.
My nephew has been on this kick to try and set me up in the middle of this isolation. And I'm like, kid, this is a waste of your efforts.
You don't know what God's going to use.
You know what? He parted the Red Sea. He can find me love in the time of Corona. So it's fine. But
that's like a movie.
I know, right?
I agree.
It's a book I want to write. It's a book I want to write. It's Sam
Collins. Oh, I love it. Well, hi, Jerry. You've got the time. You should write that book.
I have so much time. Yeah. That's another problem, too, is I have too much time. Like, I have way too much time to think and to ponder and to look on Facebook and to look on news and to just be consumed with all of the worry and the doubt and the fear. And
I think, well, and to comment on that, because I was talking with Mom as I was driving home from work, and I said, Mom, the thing that is frustrating me is that we're acting like this is permanent.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. I mean, the world has come to an end, you know, or even if you're looking at it like the next 2 years, and I'm thinking, let's get a little positivity back to where we can say this is not going to be forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, granted, it has severely altered lives.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm someone who has come out the other side, you know, hopefully. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years with the economy and everything, but, you know, so far I've survived this first wave, thank God.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who haven't, so many businesses that are shutting down, so many people's livelihoods that have been, you know, taken, you know, stolen from them by this virus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so I don't look at that lightly at all. And I don't pretend to understand some of the things that people are grappling with right now and in their struggle. But I do know that this is a season that is not going to last forever.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think that if I can kind of transition my thinking to think that, then I stop feeling this overwhelming weight of, oh my gosh, it's just doom and gloom. And if you listen to the news and you look at too much social media, which there's some great, like I've been encouraged. Honestly, I've been grateful for social media throughout this thing. It's been really good. I feel like I've been connected with people, even though I haven't been. But there's so much negative. And at some point, you just have to like turn it off. I mean, I listen to the news for about 15 minutes in the morning while I eat my breakfast. And that's about it. Because obviously I want to know what's happening, you know, especially locally.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's, we've got to get out. And granted, it's hard to get out of the negativity when you've lost your job and you're trying to figure out how to put food on the table. So I get that it's not mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
I get that at the same time. But I would love to start, you know, hearing some things like, we will be on the other side of this at some point. It's not forever.
Yeah. Because we need hope. Like you're transitioning your mind to have hope instead of this is it. This is the end of the world. We're never going to see human beings again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I also know, oh no, don't go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, you're probably going to have a serious comment. So you go.
I was just going to say though, I think that we can expect when we get back out in the world that it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, because like right now I can't get close to people as things stand because we're still doing the whole social distancing thing. But when those are lifted, when a lot of those restrictions are lifted, I think we need to give ourselves some grace that it may take a little time and give others grace that it may take a little time.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet, guys. So you don't have to worry about it. I'm sorry, Jerry.
I was just going to say that, like, I'm struggling with all this, and I'm like, oh, I'm lonely. Oh, I want to see my friends. And I know me, the moment they go, okay, you can go hang out with people, I'll be like, let me see people for a couple of days, and then I'll be tired. I need to get back.
Yep.
I'm like, no, I can't stay this way. And I'm like, no, I know me. I'll have enough of humans for 2 days. I'll be like, I need a nap. Thank you.
Hey, naps are legit. Well, I'm worried I'm going to let my... Sorry, did
well,
I just...
And I mean, you know, I've gotten comfortable in my... What's happening?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Oh, I think there's a weird delay. Sorry, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've gotten comfortable in my seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we're made for. We're not made to live secluded lives. So it may be a bit of a struggle to get back out into the world and to remember, oh, yeah, people are a struggle.
That's true. But then also our schedules are like, that's another thing that I've noticed is like, you know, I had such a crazy schedule. I was working two jobs. I was trying to do other things outside of work, trying to stay up with friends, and not that any of those necessarily were bad things, but I don't know if it's because I'm single. I tried to still, we've talked about filling our schedule with so many things so we don't feel the loneliness, but that's something that I've noticed too, is how much rest I'm getting because I'm not pushing myself so hard to do so many things at one time. I mean, my week was just out, like 3 or 4 weeks out was fully scheduled. And now I'm like, I don't even know if I got anything to do tomorrow, you know? And not that I want to stay like that, But I do think there are so many lessons that we could be learning of either about ourselves or how we, you know, live our lives and things that we honestly probably should be changing. And it took an extreme situation to kind of point those things out to go, you know, I really don't have to have something scheduled every single night because that just exhausts me. And that's not healthy either.
That's exactly what I was just going to bring up as well, because I'm so used to having my schedule so jam-packed. And like you said, scheduled 3 weeks out, someone wants to hang out, I'm like, well, how about next month?
Yeah.
And now, like you said, there's literally nothing. Like, I have had two girlfriends that have occasionally come over. Like, usually at least one person is over at some point on the weekend. So I'm seeing a human being. We're just sitting opposite couches watching TV or movies or whatever. But this past weekend, both of those girls went home to be with their mothers for Mother's Day. And I was all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, I have this entire weekend. What am I going to do? And I think that's the first time like loneliness really hit me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do want to, when we do enter back in, I do want to find a good balance, because I've been forced to slow down. I've been forced to rest. I've been forced to be home. And half of me loves it. The other half is getting itchy to be out and see people again in real life. I need to hug people so bad. It's not even funny. But I hope and pray that I've learned a lot from this. And as I go back into it, I can have a healthier balance, which I've been working towards, but still hadn't quite gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I don't know if we'll do that though.
I know.
I know.
I really don't. Like, I think once the world is back open, it's going to be, I've even loved the fact, I mean, it was like God hit the stop button, because I even love the fact that the earth has had an opportunity to heal a little bit from all the damage that we've done to it.
Hmm.
I mean, literally there are, you know, animals going into places that they've never been. And, you know, I mean, it's just this really beautiful thing. And I'll always want to shade that in the fact that, but I know that there's tremendous suffering. So I don't want to get, yeah. I don't want to look beyond that and be like, it's just so beautiful. But it is incredible to where it was like, yeah, it's just like the stop button was hit. And, you know, but yeah, but I fear that, because I just think it's in our nature to just, once the gate is open, we're going to run full on.
Dead.
Yeah.
And we'll forget very quickly. Did that really happen?
Oh, I won't. I will not forget that this happened. No, I will not.
So what has been like the hardest thing for you guys? Because we all live by ourselves. So what has been like just the hardest? And you know, I'm in Meredith's boat where my family's nearby. So I've been able to go and see them. Like, I literally go over there every day. and my nephew and niece are always like, when's Auntie Jerry coming over? Because I'm the only other person that they see too. So outside family. But even then, I still find like when I come home, like it's still very quiet and it's still very lonely. And it's still, and what's interesting is because, you know, I love living, no offense, Jeremy, but I love living by myself.
No, I love it too, no offense.
But I just, yeah, like I'll get home and it's quiet and I'm like, oh, now is the time that I get to think about a lot of things that I probably shouldn't be thinking about because my stress level is high enough as it is. But I just, is that kind of where y'all are? Or like, I know Charity, you're, you know, being a human interaction and touch and.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the thing that has surprised me the most in how I felt is the few times I have been out in the world, AKA gone to a restaurant to pick up food or something, you know, or gone to drop something off with FedEx or something like that. You know, they do have those squares on the ground, like you were saying, Meredith, where you stay this far apart. There was one restaurant I went to and there was a whole bunch of people waiting. So everyone was in a red square. I didn't realize that the squares were there. So I was kind of like off to the side, but thankfully I was far enough away that it was 6 feet, but I was like, oh, whoops. I had been there for about 15 minutes before I even realized they were there.
Oh,
sorry, everybody. But while I was waiting, it filled up with people and there was a person in like every square. And then my order got called. I went up to get it. And when I turned around to see probably about 12 people standing apart from each other, I hesitated because I couldn't figure out how to get out the back door without getting close to any of them. And the whole, like, it was like the Red Sea parted because they didn't want to be near me. But what surprised me was how awful I felt about it. Like, it made me feel dirty. It made me feel despicable. It made me feel like nobody wanted to come anywhere near me, which logically, I totally understand the situation. But emotionally, it really bothered me. And it has several times when I've had situations like that. So I just wonder if this will affect people in ways that we just weren't even realizing it would, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, I've been okay just because I have had a friend or two come over, but I, not touching people is hard. Like, even when they've come over, like my friend Lanisha came over several weeks ago and she came in my back door and I was like, welcome to my home. Like, it felt so weird to not go hug her. Hey, both of us felt super awkward because we're huggers. We're used to hugging. Like, I hug you girls, you know, and neither one of us knew what to do in greeting if we couldn't hug each other. Hey, welcome. Come on in.
Well, that was yesterday, or days mean nothing to me anymore. I don't know what day it was.
I know.
I had to go get my car fixed, and the guy who had fixed my car, like, I knew his name because my dad talks about him all the time because he fixes every single car. And I'd never really met him before. So I went up to him, Southern girl, going to shake his hand. And luckily, he, like, put his elbow out just to kind of, and I was like, oh my gosh, even just something so second nature. And I was like, what am I even thinking? I should be touching anybody. But it's just so natural.
Yeah.
Well, and then also just we are, not to say, I mean, you have really good manners too, Charity, but especially growing up in the South, I mean, manners are everything. Mm-hmm. And so to not be able to, like, and so you're supposed to shake someone's hand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what good manners are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so.
I don't even like to do that normally because I'm a germaphobe. And I still am like, nope, that's what you do when you meet somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can imagine how hard it is for me because I want to hug everyone.
I know you do.
I just want to put my hands on everybody. I cannot help it. It is the compulsory thing.
How have you made it 3 days back in the world?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I feel like that I'm going to break it at some point. Well, in fact, I've already, I don't have to wear my mask when I'm sitting at my desk. But if I get up from my desk, I have to put it on. There have already been several times where I've forgotten. So I'm like walking around the office. What's this? You know, I've gone upstairs to get some water and I'm like, oh, holy God, mask. Not trying to infect all you people. So, yeah. I mean, it's just so, it's so weird. Because what I hate about this virus and what I think that the devil is using, taking advantage of, is this idea of, I'm going to make you afraid of people.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. I mean, it's like we're living amongst the walking dead here. It's like those people could be carrying the evil thing that's going to infect me. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, it's just really, like, that part is sad.
It is. It is. Yeah. He always wants to isolate us and... Man, this world is isolated right now. And that's what's scary about all of this.
Yeah. And it's like I was saying before, I mean, that was not God's design. Mm-hmm. We are relational beings. We were never meant to be isolated. Mm-hmm. So that's what's so hard on our system too. And on our soul is the fact that we are, you know, separate and we're doing it for the right reasons, but it's still super, super challenging. And I think that for me myself, I feel like that I've jumped back and forth. I feel like I've had moments of, I'm tired of hearing people complain about being at home with their kids or their spouse or whatever, because I'm like, I don't have anybody. I sit here by myself. And then, you know, on days when when I'm just a crazy, stressful work day and I'm at home by myself, I'm like, how nice to not have any distractions.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like that I've kind of gone back and forth with those things,
feeling all the emotions, like you said.
And it's definitely like, because I'll see things on Facebook of like, oh well, this person's feel sorry for this person because they're having to face this, or feel sorry for this person because they're having to deal with that, and I'm like, we're all having to deal with something. Like, it's all some situation. That I mean, the whole thing is not okay, and whatever life or I mean, because even you talk, you see these celebrities, you know, in these huge houses, having all the room and the space and the pools in the world, and yet they'll still complain about how hard it is. And of course, we want to mock and be like, it's ridiculous. But at the end of the day, all of us are having to modify somehow how we're living, and it can be, it's hard and it's lonely. It is. And it's, you know, I think we just have to learn how to show grace and go, yeah, I get it. I mean, my struggle is not any worse than yours. It's just, you know, it's, seems harder to me because I'm the one going through it. Yeah. But, you know, if I take a moment and look at your situation, then yeah, I mean, I would think that your situation is hard too. So I think it's just getting out of our own self, basically, and being thoughtful of other people and what other people have to go through, but then also recognizing that it's okay to think, wow, this is really crappy. It's really, really okay.
Right. And I think that one of the ways to combat that is to remember what you have to be grateful for. If you have a job right now, be grateful for that job.
For real.
If they're calling you back into the office now, be grateful that you have an office to be called back into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can say that we're all in the same boat, but we're not. There are people that have much better boats than I do. Mm-hmm. And I have a better boat than some other people. You know what I'm saying? So to be mindful of what you have, of what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's that you still have a roof over your head, you don't know if you'll have it next month, but for now, it's still over your head. So yeah, I mean, I think that, which I just touched my face like 45 times.
I have the last 15 minutes.
But I'm home and I wash my hands. So I don't feel too.
I don't feel bad about it when I'm home.
Yeah. But it's interesting too, just the little things that will stress me out, like little things that have happened at the office. I'm like, I'm gonna need you to not pull your mask down like this when you're talking to me. Okay.
That kind of defeats the purpose.
It defeats the purpose. Out,
you know? It's just little things like that to where you're, well, it's just weird how you're, you know, a little bit stressed about it. But
oh yeah. My anxiety is just top notch, you know. It's just,
and I think that I really think that that is most of us, regardless of what our situation. I think the anxiety level is just through the roof. And it's interesting, I actually heard something really good. My sister had forwarded me it was a psychologist talking with the head of the nonprofit organization that she works for, and she made such a good point. She said, our bodies can't tell the difference between something that we're thinking and something that's actually happening. So if we're thinking negative thoughts and thinking of this horrible scenario and how it's going to play out, our bodies think, oh, we're living in this horrible scenario and this is how it's going to play out. And so that was a real conviction for me to keep my thoughts in check, to be like, I do not need to rabbit trail off the edge of that cliff over there.
Right, right.
You know, I need to just keep talking out with the Lord and just saying, you know, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And, you know, I have people that I know that have been terribly sick in the hospital, some with the virus. I have people close to me that are in real danger of losing their jobs, you know, and I have to be like, you know, God, I trust in you for them, you know, because it seems very overwhelming.
Well, and this time too has taught me to not think so far ahead. Like I have to worry so far ahead. And I'm like, I literally don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So I'm just going to have to focus on that and how to get through that, because I don't know. I mean, we can plan for, you know, in the next month, this is going to happen, but we don't know. And so it's
because we didn't plan on this happening.
Exactly. I didn't anyway. I don't know if y'all have.
I mean,
I knew.
And I love a plan. I'm a planner.
Mm-hmm. Me too, Meredith. Yes. But I mean, I'm like, I'll know what might happen tomorrow, and that's all I'm gonna try and get through. So that's, I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's definitely not in my life.
there's a verse towards the end of James that talks about, or somewhere in James, where it basically says, we can't say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, or the day after that I'm going to do that. We just have to say, if the Lord wills, I will do that, and then praise him and live in the moment. Something to that effect. That was not a direct quote, but it always
sounded good to me.
Yeah, there you go. But it always stood out to me.
Yeah, we're having to do that.
We are. Has there been anything positive that has happened or that you've done with your time, or just anything positive that has come out of this time of isolation for either of you girls?
So one of the things that I have to do that's part of my job now is the teachers would have Zoom meetings with the students, and they always had to have a second adult in the room with them. And so I was one of those second adults. So I would just sit in with classes and listen to what was going on, just, I guess, crowd control, whatever. And one of the classes I sit in on is a songwriting class. Well, there weren't any students because it's not mandatory. So I've been getting free songwriting lessons with this teacher.
That's really nice.
He's super precious. He's so nice.
Any music? Any songs?
Well, tomorrow is my first time that I'm actually going to bring a song that I've written, and then we're going to kind of workshop it or whatever. So that definitely would have happened had this whole situation not.
Yeah, that's such a positive.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's been weird.
But fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's not had like, huge success, but he's had decent cuts, and so, you know, it's someone who's been in the industry. It's not someone who's just written a couple of songs or whatever. So he's kind of teaching me old school songwriting, kind of. So, oh, Meredith, you will love him. He's like 90s country.
Oh my gosh, sign me up. Can I join this class?
Exactly. So anyway,
I love it.
I know. So we've just had really cool conversations about songwriting. So yeah.
I love that.
Did I want the whole world to end have a pandemic in order for that to happen? Not necessarily, but it's nice. So there you go.
We got to find the silver linings.
Exactly. I ran a 5K.
Yeah, you did.
I've had so much time to train that, you know, I've been jogging a lot. So there's that.
Which she did not run a 5K in the normal way, let us say.
Very true.
Oh.
You didn't go with a bunch of people.
Oh, no.
And run a 5K.
No.
But you still ran it on your own.
It was a virtual.
There you go.
No. I was not around a lot of human beings.
It's just, you know, there are bad rumors about Tennessee, and I don't want that spreading around that y'all been having 5Ks down there.
I don't want to perpetuate any of that.
In fact, I'm running another one next weekend.
I am so impressed by that. Gary. People who run because
I haven't done any of that.
No, I'm so impressed by people that do that.
Well, let's not say run. We'll say jog-ish.
That's way more than I would do, Jerry. So my hat is virtually off to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Exactly.
That was impressive. Oh, yeah.
No, Jerry, you've had lots of positives.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, I've gained weight.
I know.
And
I've done that too. I still eat brownies. I just jog.
There you go. Yeah. A huge accomplishment. I finished off two huge bags of the mini Cadbury Easter eggs.
Whoa, nice.
I wish I could come over for that. I would have helped.
I did that. And there's a reason you're only seeing me from here up. Because the rest of this is just like, bowl full of jelly. I'm trying to catch up with the man there.
There's just so much time to eat. So why not? You know?
Honestly, I'm hearing it from everybody. Don't feel bad. I'm part of the people who record the worship services beforehand for Sunday services. And we do that on Tuesday nights. And just last night, one of the guys was like, I can't fit into any of my pants. I was like, I know everyone's just having trouble right now.
I didn't think about that for guys because I have a lot of stretch pants. Like even my dress pants are like pull up, and they're not leggings, guys. I don't wear leggings to work, but they're actual dress pants. but they pull up, you know, I call them my granny pants, but they're all, I mean, I have so many, and I like them so much. But I do feel bad for guys. I mean, guys don't really have stretch pants. Mm,
that would be
bless them.
It'd be interesting. They sure don't.
That's a sadness for them. Yeah, because I wouldn't be able to fit into, I don't know. I have been able to fit into my jeans, so that made me happy. But yeah, it was funny because over the quarantine, I read something that said, maybe it's time for you to go put on a real pair of pants because you might be thinking everything in the kingdom's okay.
And it's, yeah, I put on some jeans, but they've been stretchy, so I don't know how that will look.
Yeah.
But mostly just workout pants, because why not?
I have, like, this is another problem. I have, like, three pairs of, like, comfy pants that aren't workout pants, and I just have to keep cycling them through because I'm wearing the biggest, baggiest clothes all the time, every day. You can literally see my bedroom back through the doorway. I realized I'm going from there to here. I'm not going to do more than put on baggy clothes. And my slippers have been my shoes every day for 2 months now. Nice. But I'm like, I need to actually buy some more super comfy wardrobe pants.
Now, I think that a positive that could come out of this whole thing is we could all dress more comfortably.
Nope, like that.
Like, we could all decide that comfy pants are a good thing. They're a good decision. Yeah. We should wear them all the time.
Yep.
They don't have to look frumpy, but come on, designers. We need comfortable, nice clothes.
Amen. Yeah. I'm going to applaud that one.
And also, can roots be Trey chic as well? Like, can we start that as totally, well?
Totally Trey chic.
It's getting rough out there. Even for me. And I let them go pretty long. And this is still even pretty bad for me.
Meredith and I were talking about that right before you jumped on, Jerry, just hair damage. Like, even Meredith, I was just realizing this morning when I was doing my hair, I was like, it's time. It's definitely time, but.
Now, have y'all opened your hair salons?
Actually, I know that the one that colors my hair has. I was actually supposed to have my hair colored, like, I think on Monday, but she just opened back up on Monday, and she's having to reschedule 7 weeks worth of people. So those that have been waiting longest, she's putting in. So I'm going in like a month or so, which is fine. That one I'm not as needy on yet, but. So I know she is. I need to double check about the girl that cuts my hair and just see if maybe I can go see her soon.
Yeah.
I have been one of those people to be tempted to just cut my own hair, but I haven't done it yet.
That is so smart, Jerry. And see,
smart to not do it or smart to think about doing it?
Yeah, smart to not do it, probably.
Smart to not do it. Smart to make sure. But that is another thing that married women take for granted. They have a husband who can sit there and say, you do not want to do this. Us, we're just here by ourselves. And we'll be like,
great idea.
Let's do something fun over here. And then we had no one to say, don't do it.
Don't do it. You don't want to do it.
Although you see all those pictures online on Facebook where the wives are like, hey, husband, I'll cut your hair. And they're like, okay, that's a great idea. And then you see them.
I haven't seen those. I need to see those.
You need to check those out. If you need to look up some quarantine haircuts where wives have cut their husband's hair.
Oh, no.
The fade is wrong.
One of the guy that runs all the AV stuff for us at church last night pulled his hat off and he had just buzzed it. And one of the other guys called it his quarantine cut. he just buzzed it off. And I'm like, I get it. Oh, man.
That's what a lot of people have done. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that would be better than a lot of the wife haircuts. Although, I'm great at cutting hair. So, guys, that's why you should marry me.
That's right. Exactly.
You're a professional.
She is professional.
In the next quarantine, I'll be there for you.
That's what you should be advertising on all your social medias. Men, I will cut your hair.
on your dating app. Just think about the next quarantine, guys. I'll be there for you.
I have heard, on one of the talk show things I watched that one of the most Googled, I can't say that things right now, is how to cut my own hair from home.
I believe it.
It hasn't been that long. Like, I'm amazed that people, now granted, I was so glad because I was tempted right before this all happened to get a pixie. and I would have died.
Oh, man.
Not died, literally, but I would have been.
What a worst thing in the whole world.
That was dramatic.
So, you know, I get it. Like, what if you got some cute little pixie haircut right before the quarantine and now?
And you're just stuck?
You look in a little.
Shabby chic?
Shabby.
So, I get that. Like, people wanting to cut their hair. Shabby and so chic.
Not.
But no, I would never. I mean, I don't, like, I've done my mom's hair while we've been in quarantine, which she doesn't have me anymore, but apparently she's going next month to see her girl. But I've done hers, but I would never dream of, I mean, I've cut my own hair, like, if it's to fix something or, you know, I've cut bangs before.
I do bangs.
Yeah, that'd be really hard on your own head back here.
Yeah, that's where I've stopped, but I'm like, I know people have done it. But I haven't. Well, that's like you said, Meredith. Like, I've gone much longer without a haircut, but for some reason, I'm like,
exactly.
It's more boredom than it is necessity.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you're like, who's even seeing me right now? Nobody's even seeing me.
I tried to cover it up, but apparently everyone had the same idea because my color and my root, whatever, my root box, it was sold out at the grocery store. So everybody was trying to do it at the same time. They heard, oh, we're reopening. We must cover our roots. Yeah.
Some of the things that have been sold out at the grocery store have been odd to me. Like dish soap. That aisle has been wiped clean.
People have to wash so many dishes because they're using so many during the day.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
It's easy.
Well, that, and you can clean with it. I mean, you know, it's a disinfectant.
I didn't think about that.
So that's why people are. I know it's like I'm down to, I mean, I've still got a good bit left, but I'm down to not a whole lot left. And I'm thinking, oh, but, you know, and that's given me stress. Like the fact that we've run out of things, it's like I went, had a meat buy. Well, I didn't go. I didn't even get that much meat. I put a bunch on my list, but then I didn't get it. But it's like, then there's the meat shortage. I'm like, just stop reporting on these things and then there won't be a meat shortage. If you say
right.
on the national news, there's about to be a meat shortage. Yeah, there is. And you just caused it.
That's right. Yeah. Everyone's running out to get their meat.
Why don't you do it on something that's not like, I don't care. Let there be a cigarette shortage. That's fine. Everybody go buy you cigarettes. I'm okay. Just come up with something else that I don't really need. I'll be fine. But yeah, I know. I was surprised. I did like order because I order online now and I did get some meat. So I was like,
good. That's really nice.
That is good for you. Yeah. Well, I actually went into, I had not been in a store, like I say, in about 8 weeks, and I went into Trader Joe's, and because I thought, well, that's smaller. I feel like that's a little more contained. It doesn't feel as overwhelming as, say, the Kroger. And I found meat there. Got me some ground beef. It was a happy day.
Go to Trader Joe's.
Oh, no.
They still have the meat.
I know.
They still have what? Oh, meat. Meat.
The meats.
The meat.
I know. Even fast food restaurants are running out of it.
Are they really? I hadn't heard that.
They're running like Sonic, you can't order your double cheeseburger.
Can you order single?
You can order single.
Okay.
My whole life, Mary, I only order single things. It's fine.
I know. Are you judging me? I just want a single, just because I'm single. Judge me.
Oh, no. Ma'am. These are weird.
Sure do miss you.
Girls. I really miss you girls.
I think that was another thing, like charity, I guess it's been what, mid-March probably?
Since you last were over here?
Yeah. But, and then I thought about Meredith, this has been since January, December, January.
Yeah, it has
when
been.
When storms came in, told me I needed to go home early. I was real mad about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, it's been a while. But it won't be forever.
It won't be forever.
It won't be forever.
And not. Just think, it was like when I was telling my family goodbye on Sunday. I said, I feel
so sad.
I know.
I said, I feel like I'm moving out west in the olden days. When you say goodbye,
you won't see him for 5 years.
You don't know if you'll ever see them again.
Exactly. Oh, it's so, so sad. Oh, no.
But we live in an age where we can still see each other, even though we're not physically in the same room. And it's not the same. But, I mean, to, you know, if this was going to happen to any... In any time in history, this is a good time. You know, I think it's kept a lot of businesses afloat. It's, yes. You know, and it's good because it helps you feel like you're not so alone. Although this hashtag alone together just is stupid. I'm tired of hearing about it.
I've never heard
alone that. Together. That is so stupid. We're just alone. Okay.
Yeah, well, you're just alone. Yet,
I'm alone.
Another good thing is now that we're starting the summer, like, maybe you can't go into people's houses, but maybe you can still, like, for you, Meredith, maybe you can still go and visit your parents, but then y'all sit outside on the patio or something, so you're still...
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, maybe meeting up at a park or something, and, that'd be nice. You know, eating a sandwich.
A single burger.
A single burger. Yeah.
No, there won't be any meat. Won't be any meat.
No.
Just gonna have a sandwich. Just probably peanut butter and jelly. We won't have anything else.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've been glad for technology because my family and I, we don't call each other all that often, but I've been able to FaceTime with almost all of my siblings and just see their faces. Just that helps my heart because we're all in our own little places and we haven't seen each other, even though two and a half of my brothers live here in Nashville. I don't get to see them. I don't get to see them.
Two and a half of your brothers?
Well, one of them's only here part-time.
Okay.
Who's here part-time?
Benji. He lives here seasonally.
Oh, but yeah. He's still a full brother.
He's still a full brother.
He's not half.
He's a full brother. He lives here half the time. So,
there you go.
For the time there you go. Two and a half brothers that live here.
That's another thing I don't feel like I've done. Although my sister has reminded me, Meredith, if you staying at home helps people.
Ooh, that's a good
one. I'm like, that's true. But I've always said that I'm not, if there's a plague or something, I'm not your girl.
Right.
Like when I see those things, those movies where there'll be some yellow fever or, you know, cholera or something that's going around and people are going to people's houses and helping people, nursing them back to health. I'm like, that's for the professionals. That's why I love you nurses and doctors.
Amen.
Why you're my favorite and I thank God for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're helping people?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I like to tell myself. I'm helping people.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm doing nothing.
Yeah. That was a struggle, especially like when we first, because I work at a school and that the school first kind of went out and not having, it felt like I didn't have a purpose like at all. And it's hard to motivate yourself to get out of bed and to not sink into a huge depression when you don't feel like you have any purpose at all.
Oh,
like even to just do, I mean, I was so grateful when we started doing these, like I said, these Zoom meetings, these classrooms. And even if I was just sitting listening to them talking about something that I had no idea what they were talking about. Like, I was just like, thank you for giving me something to do, because that was incredibly hard is just kind of going, why am I getting out of bed? Like, why, what is the point? And that is very dangerous. So
it is. I know. And it's, Charity and I had a conversation about this the other night, but you know, I've been so disappointed in myself because I don't feel like that I've, like, I thought in a moment of crisis, I'd be more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not been, like, I've got, you know, and of course, I was still working from home, so it wasn't as though, you know, I had all days to myself, but I still had more time than I'm, but I just feel, I didn't spend more time in the Word.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing when I
Meredith, your video for some reason is like slow-mo. It's like, for some reason, the last little bit you said, it's like, because I... I was like, I didn't really know what she's saying.
It was so dramatic, was but really I didn't understand the words.
I planned it that way. That was me the whole time. You just didn't know. I'm a good actress.
Oh man. So can you repeat a couple of the little things you just said, because it was hard to understand you?
Oh, that I wasn't being very spiritual.
Yeah, but after that, you said other
right
things.
After that, yeah.
Then I would have, you would have, I would have thought that I would have spent more time in the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, spent more time in study and prayer and reflection, and I just didn't. Although I did watch a really fun BBC show called Father Brown. It had a priest on it, and it's he gave pearls of biblical wisdom. I like to think there was peppered in there.
Yeah, I can use it. He can use it
via entertainment.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
When I took the time to sit down, because I had the time to do Bible study, like I could find myself being there for 30-40 minutes, and I'm usually not that person. I'm usually like, Lord Jesus, let's spend about 10 minutes together, get what we can do, you know, I'll pray, journal, and then I gotta go on with the rest of my life. So when I did take the time in this phase, like it would be a good chunk of time, but it was getting to the point where I'm like, oh, maybe I should read the Bible right now. Like, that definitely didn't happen as much as it should have. Like, it was very few and far between. But so, yeah, I get that, Meredith. Like,
yeah.
You think with all the time, I'm always like, oh, it's because I'm so tired. That's why I don't spend as much time in the Word. No, it's just I don't pick up the Bible. That's basically the problem.
I mean, of course, I was still working from home, but I still had, you know, didn't have the commute, and you know, I usually end up staying late at the office when I'm at the office, I got to give myself some grace and be like, no.
It's been, as I had was telling Meredith when we had that conversation previously, that's been a big part of my struggle too, is I have not been in the Word. Just like Jerry said, I would think if I had all this time, I would be spending it more productively and deepening that walk with the Lord, and I haven't been. I'm just this week starting to get back into a little bit of a habit, and I found a study I'm going to work on and started looking up pictures of some of this ancient city that I'm going through. I decided to go through Ephesus. And so actually the last two mornings I spent the time like looking up maps of the ancient city of Ephesus, and I got lost in it. I was like, well, Lord, this is just setting the foundation for when we do jump in.
Now that is interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I really love it.
The Bible's interesting too, but the history.
The Bible is not, but the map.
Now that...
No. And I love, that's one of my favorite things to study is the historical context of Scripture.
It's fascinating.
There was a picture this morning, I followed this. I'm sorry, Trudy, I'm totally hijacking what you're saying. There was this picture this morning. So I followed this group, View From My Window or something on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool. So it's people from all over the world who post pictures from outside their window. And some people are living in some beautiful places. Let me just say, I never posted anything out my window because no one would want to see that. But there was one this morning, it was a rainbow, and it was in Galilee.
Exactly.
That was my response.
Oh, wow.
We haven't even seen it, and we love it.
That's where my Jesus was from. It was really sweet.
Love that. I found a
But anywho.
I love that. So on one of the Bible apps that I occasionally use, I found over Easter, I found a devotional that it was only like 5 or 6 days, but each day was a short little devotional. And it talked about an actual relic from the time of Jesus's death and what it was. And I was just riveted by that too. Apparently I really like the history too. I'm just like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. So interesting. So
we did a Bible study at the beginning of this year. It's kind of the history, but not, I might have already told y'all about it. Kathy Lee Gifford, she did it. It was like the rabbi, the rock, and the
road, the road, the rock, and the road.
I love it so much.
Sounds like a joke.
It's so not. Like, she wrote it with this messianic Jew, and they give so much context of Jewish culture and ritual and just festivals and all this information that makes kind of what Christ did and Christ said, like, it adds so much more significance to it because you kind of get the history of why he practiced the way that he did. It was really cool. I recommend it if I could remember the name correctly. But it was a book, and it was also a Bible study, and it was Rabbi Jason. That was his name. Rabbi Jason.
Rabbi Jason. Sounds Jason. Like Ride by Jesse.
Ride by Jesse, yes.
Rabbi.
It's Rabbi. That's how we say it down here. Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Rabbi. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that stuff's interesting. But that has also been my struggle, and I'm fighting hard to get back in it. God's still been very present and powerful at certain moments through all this thing too. But I'm just like, oh Lord, I need you. Like recording the worship set last night, his presence was just so strong. And not that it's not there when we've done the other sets up till now, but for some reason he just was there last night. And at the end, one of the girls that works on the media team came up and just shared a scripture that the Lord laid on her heart while we were worshiping at the end there, and shared with us and prayed over us. And it just ended with all of us in silence just before the Lord for quite a few minutes. And I just left going, Lord, I feel like that was breath to me. Like I was so suffocated not having that. That I just couldn't stop thanking him, and it just kind of is motivating me to push harder to get back in the Word.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, and that's been cool too, speaking about like filming for Sunday service, like the fact that we've even got that as an option, like, yeah. Like, because I will say the hardest thing when this whole thing started for me, like heartbreaking, was I was driving by my parents' house, and there's a church just kind of next door to them. And on their marquee or whatever, it said all events canceled until further notice. And for some reason, like, that just hit me so hard. Like, I don't know if I've told y'all this, but it kept reminding me of that song in Robin Hood, like, every town.
No, I know the song.
Down, sometimes up, outnumber the downs, but not in Nottingham. Like, it was just so sad.
When was Robin Hood a musical?
Disney's.
The Disney.
Oh,
movie.
I've never seen it. Well, it's okay. I don't think
I don't know if it's okay.
Enjoyment out of it today.
Like, it's
really. You have to look into it. But it was like Roger Miller. He's so great. Anyways, but the fact that churches have been able to adapt with the technology and still, you know. And like I've seen memes on Facebook of like the devil saying, oh, well, we finally closed churches down. And it's like, no, you didn't. We just have one in every home now. So it's just like still being able to reach everybody. It's just different. I mean, that's the whole thing is like we're social distancing, but we're still trying not to be socially distant. Yeah. And that's been really cool that churches have been able to work through that and still be there and still be the body, even when we're not physically together. And I hope when we do come back together, we get rid of the passing of the peace, because I'm tired of that. I don't want that.
I wonder if they will.
Just pass the germs is what that is.
Exactly. Pass the germs. Yeah, you keep your peace to yourself, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, man. These are crazy times we're living in, guys. Crazy.
True. It is crazy times.
But they're good times. It's the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it.
If you guys
are... I mean, Paul and Silas sang when they were in that prison. You know, in the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were marching around praising the Lord in the fire.
In the fire furnace, you know.
Amen.
Didn't even touch him. Didn't even scorch him.
So we can
didn't even scorch him.
Maybe that's what it is. We just walk through the streets praising and the germs won't get us.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how germs work.
No.
I mean, if
it's and then girl, you die and go to heaven and the Lord says, I gave you a brain.
What did
but
you?
You're here now.
I
so
don't
we'll
mean
rejoice.
To say that did not sound good. I did not mean, because I know that people have lost people that they love, and I did not mean for that.
No, you're fine.
I'm sorry.
anything else we wanted to touch on while we're talking about all this?
Did I tell you I miss you guys?
You did, but you can tell us again.
So. Miss you guys.
I miss you guys. Well, all you guys listening, we just wanted to have a little conversation and share with you guys what we were thinking and feeling. And we kind of had you jump in mid-conversation. Hope that was okay. but we're glad you're here with us.
We just couldn't help ourselves. We saw each other. We just start talking. That's what we do.
It's so true. We just get right into it.
Yeah.
We were just talking and I was like, girl, should I be recording? They're like, yes. And I was like, oh, whoops.
I said all my good stuff at the beginning. Sorry. Missed it.
All the pearls.
They were.
It was good to see you girls' faces virtually.
Virtually.
Good to just sit and hash out.
It's just a season.
It's just a season.
Yeah. That's right. It is just a
season. Dramatic again with it, Meredith. You just went.
And we will get beyond.
Oh, there's more.
And it froze up. Sorry. You got frozen, and when it popped back up, you were like. It got really dramatic again in slow-mo and you're, this is just a season. So sorry we were laughing at you when you came back. I'm like, what?
Yeah, right. I mean, that was serious. That was really serious. Whatever. I'm just laughing my face.
That's just wonderful, but it's not perfect. So sometimes it messes up a little.
Your technology is not perfect, even though we're very thankful for it.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. This is true. But, you know, we just want to encourage you guys, and we know some of you are probably going through some tremendously hard things, and we just want you to know that we're thinking of you and praying for you, and feel free to reach out if you need some extra prayer or encouragement. We would love to hear from you.
You are not alone in any of this.
And I mean, you may be alone,
but you're not alone.
We're virtually together.
We're alone together.
We're alone together.
Stupid. Stupid. Hashtag stupid.
Stupid. Well, I forget how we end these things.
I don't know. I feel
amen
bad.
And God bless.
That's it.
Oh, that's it.
I was like, it's so long.
You're welcome.
Hey, BSers. Remember to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Blessed Singleness Podcast and you'll be able to find us.
And wherever you listen to us, we're going to just know the three R's. Rate, review, and
remember to listen.
That's the one.
Podcast.
Remember to listen. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.